One of the favorite pieces of that I love that the choir sings. We celebrate shortly after Christmas the baptism of Jesus in our lectionary, and then we launch right into his ministry. That's how it works in our lectionary. We follow Christ's life as he launches into ministry after his baptism, because we don't know anything about him really between the time of his birth and the time he launches into ministry. There is one little story when he was 12 years old. So today we pick up where he is choosing his disciples. And just a little disclaimer, when I launch into the message today, I've taken a little creative license that you will hear as we go through the message. So we hear from Matthew chapter 4 today about Jesus calling his disciples. Now when Jesus heard that John was arrested, he went to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, which lies alongside the sea in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, alongside the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who lived in the dark have seen a great light, and a light has come upon those who lived in the region and in shadow of death." From that time, Jesus began to announce, "Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven." As Jesus walked along the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. This is the one we follow. May we listen to the scripture and understand what it means to be disciples of Christ. It's not a good time in this country and in the world. Leaders are dishonest and corrupt, caring more for themselves than for their people. People are being taxed beyond what they can endure. Many are scraping to get by. Men can no longer support their families and are reduced to taking any job they can get. No one seems to be able to get ahead except the rich, who just keep getting richer. Other countries are stripping our resources and carrying them off to build their empires. The poor are cast aside. Children are starving, and no one seems to care. Women are forced into prostitution to support themselves and their families. The country is torn apart by those who support the government and those who want to tear it down. People are protesting in the streets, being beaten, even killed. This was the conversation taking place at the dinner table as James and John sat with their father Zebedee and their mother, who had just served up the evening meal of fresh bread and fish that they had just caught that very day. News had just come from Jerusalem that a roving band of zealots had attacked a Roman official on the way to the holy city of Jerusalem, and some had been crucified as an example to others plotting against the imperial government. Of course, this had taken place weeks ago as news was slow to travel to Capernaum on the Galilean Sea from Jerusalem. James and John considered themselves lucky that they lived so far away from Jerusalem. Things were not great in Capernaum, but they sure weren't good in the holy city. The Jewish people were not happy. Rome was imposing too many taxes and taking over the city. People were starving, and Jerusalem was crowded. The brothers, James and John, were content to fish with their father Zebedee and live in relative peace, a full week's walk from Jerusalem. They at least had food to eat and family nearby, not to mention other fishermen and laborers who lived in the town and thought as they did. They were a hardy crew, not adverse to a little competition, little salty language, and good-natured ribbing at times. Often James and John met up with their friends, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, and they cast offshore into the lake together early in the morning to fish. And at the end of the fishing day, they would come back again and meet and compare the catches they'd had and where the best fishing was that day. They repaired their nets as they prepared to fish the next day. Andrew, Peter's brother, was quiet and good-natured, while Peter was bold, gregarious, and a little impetuous. James and John sometimes wondered how Andrew and Peter ever got along day after day as they were fishing. On occasion, they could hear a string of cursing from Peter as they fished, being close enough to catch a bit of an earful. Andrew never seemed to respond, but kept wise counsel. At other times, Peter was known to tell a little bit of an off-color joke, and hearty laughter would waft across the water. They seemed to care for each other deeply, despite their differences. James and John, on the other hand, were very much alike. Like twins, some people said, even though they were almost 2 years apart in age. Where one was, you could usually find the other. Even though they got into their own share of squabbles and the occasional scuffle. They didn't mind carousing around the village at night, and in younger days they had had more than one broom swung at them or a basin of water thrown at them when they played a prank on someone or scared the women at the well. They laughed a lot, so no one stayed very angry at them for long. They had grown up there and were well known in the village. Besides, despite their tomfoolery, they were the ones who would always be there to help out whenever there was a need. They, along with their father, were known to drop off a few fish for a local widow or a family in need. Often at night, along with their friends Peter and Andrew, James and John discussed the situation of their people, the Jews, and prayed to God that the Messiah would come soon. They were tired of waiting. Rome was oppressing their people. The emperor was constantly imposing taxes to build his new monuments or to fix roads. The imperial army was brutal and not at all favorable toward those who were not Roman citizens or who practiced another religion other than the cult of the emperor. The emperor was also cracking down on the Jewish zealots who were protesting the brutal ways of Rome and its taxes. The fishermen had on occasion discussed what it would be like to join the zealots, those who fought for Jewish independence. But in the end, they always went back to fishing. No living a little way out of Jerusalem and Galilee suited James and John just fine. Yet they were restless. They longed for things to change, for their people to get what God had once promised them, a Messiah who would restore Israel to its former glory, like during the days of King David. But that possibility seemed quite remote. It had been generations since Israel had seen any indication that the Messiah might come. Sure, men had come along claiming to be the Messiah, but the hope had been short-lived. Nothing had come of these men or their followers. Yet something had changed. About a week ago, Peter and Andrew had invited James and John to their home to meet a man who had just moved to Capernaum. His name was Jesus. He was from Nazareth, he said, though he had just come from somewhere near Jerusalem and had left his hometown of Nazareth to move to Capernaum. He brought no family and very few belongings. That was unusual, to say the least. They had not yet figured out this man, but what they did know is that they were drawn to him. Every evening this past week, James and John had gone to Peter's house to meet this Jesus and to listen to him talk, even though they didn't know what to make of him. He said things they'd never heard before. Though some were vaguely familiar, they sounded like some of their Jewish laws and stories. But he put it differently. He was a brilliant rabbi. He taught with authority, and he seemed calm and confident, yet passionate, sure of what he had to say. It felt like he was conveying the truth, for what he said went beyond mere words. They could somehow feel what he said in their souls. It penetrated deeper than words. And there was something else that was unusual about this man. People who had met him said that they had been cured of some of their various ailments. They swore it was because of Jesus. He didn't say anything. They just seemed to know it was him. He just went about his day talking to people, laughing and joking with them. At night, he left Peter's house and walked out into the darkness. They didn't know where he went. Peter, his wife, and mother-in-law begged him to stay, but he always left. He didn't seem to eat anything during the day either, but joined Peter and his family for the evening meal in exchange for the stories he told at night. Many nights, more than just the fishermen gathered at the house to listen to this strange but compelling teacher. As James and John walked home at night, they talked about it and both agreed that this man was very unusual. He was compelling. You wanted to sit with him and hear more. You wanted to be more. He brought out something in them that they didn't understand. One of the things that puzzled and yet intrigued them at the same time was a statement he had made just last night. Change your hearts. Change your lives. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And when they asked him about it, he was a little enigmatic. The kingdom of God is not out there, and he pointed outside. The kingdom of God is in here. And he pointed to himself and to everybody else in the room. The kingdom of God is in here. What did that mean? He had said other things that baffled them too. God's kingdom will only become real when we truly learn to love each other, even our enemies. We must move beyond our differences and begin to bring healing to the world. That was not their idea of the kingdom of God. Blessed are they who are peacemakers. The poor will inherit the kingdom. Do not lay up your treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Things like this, he was saying. And he told stories, lots and lots of stories. Stories they didn't quite get, yet they were too compelling, as if there was something to be understood just under the surface of the stories. Strange words from a strange man, yet they longed to hear more. He spoke as if he believed what he was saying. No, more than that, he embodied what he was saying. Tonight, after their evening meal, they were going over to Peter's again to listen to more from this man, Jesus. They were drawn to him like a moth to a lamp. Later that night, as they walked home from another evening of listening to this strange rabbi, they were restless. Jesus had said that he was about to go to other villages to teach. They even talked about going with him, and they realized that they were jealous. They wanted to keep him here, to listen to him. They could somehow feel their hearts changing, softening, and they wanted more. When they were with him, they felt at peace, a peace that they couldn't quite comprehend, as if this is truly what the kingdom of God might feel like, might be, if people truly learned to love one another. Jesus seemed to have even calmed Peter, which was a feat in itself. Peter was still Peter, but he somehow seemed to be a better Peter. They couldn't explain it to themselves or to anyone else. As they went to bed that night, each was caught up in his own thoughts. The next morning, James and John and their father Zebedee met again, Simon Peter and Andrew once again on the seashore, and prepared to cast out into the lake for their day's work. The four younger men, though, seemed pensive, reserved, immersed in their own thoughts. They agreed that they would meet up later that day, and they finally cast off to go fishing, each boat going in its own direction. About mid-morning, as James and John were hauling in their nets while their father Zebedee steadied the boat, they heard laughter floating across the water. They looked down the shore and saw three figures walking toward them, too far away yet to make out. As they drew closer, they could see Simon Peter and Andrew walking with Jesus. They seemed almost buoyant as they stopped on the shore not far from where they were, and Jesus called out to them, James and John, come with me. I'm going to make you fishers of people. Their hearts stopped as they looked at each other. Then, as one, they jumped into the water and made their way to shore to follow this man wherever he was going. How could they not? I invite us now to take some time to ponder that question. How can we not follow this man, Jesus? We have two stations at either